The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Racing TV podcast for the Tote 10 to follow. The National Hunt season is well underway now. Unlikely anyone will be seeing a horse in the flesh on a race course until March at the earliest, unless you're an owner or a trainer or involved with the horses. So there's never been a better time to put together your own virtual stable together, and you can with the Tote 10 to follow part of this. And who better than two stalwarts of the Racing TV online team, Harry Allwood and Andy the Score Stevens. Harry, I'll start with you. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Anthony. Exciting now, the jump season starting to notch up a gear, and very much looking forward to the Tote 10 to follow getting going. And hopefully getting my hands on a slice of the £150,000 guaranteed prize pool.
Absolutely. Very good tactic. You've got to think carefully about who exactly you're going to put in. And I know Andy Stevens, the Score, will have done exactly that. Andy, how are you?
Good morning, Dunkers. Yes, it was lovely to be described as a stalwart. I like that term. It suggests that I'm sturdy and solid, hopefully like the 10 selections that we've got for the Tote 10 to follow. Let's see what we can conjure between us this morning.
What exactly did you have to think about when putting your stable together? Were you thinking tactically or were you thinking bigger names?
Well, I was trying to get my head into someone else's head. So I'm trying to think like Nicky Henderson. I'm trying to think Willie Mullins. I'm plotting and planning programs for horses. And that was actually quite a fun exercise just to do that. And I actually did look back through previous horses and how different horses have been campaigned, like Altior in his novice season, and seeing what particular races we might see horses like Shiskin in and Chacun Poissoir and so on and so forth. So you're trying to get into the mind of the trainers, I think, as well as anything else, and trying to find horses that are going to run regularly in the big races and obviously these 25 bonus races, which are really essential for the competition. I think that's where it's going to be won and lost. We need to be ticking as many boxes as we can in those particular races.
Now, if you're like me and have never taken part in the Tote 10 to follow, you might be wondering exactly what this is all about and how you do it. And thankfully, Jamie Hart from the Tote is on hand to guide us through with a steady oar through these choppy waters of the National Hunt season. Jamie, all well?
Yeah, very good. We're really looking forward to this. When we did the first kind of digital 10 to follow last year for the Tote, we didn't even have a new Tote kind of website. So since we finally got full ownership of the Tote, the new Tote, last October. So it was a bit of a rush to get the first one up. So this time we've had a good run at the 10 to follow for the jumps this year. Really looking forward to this being the biggest competition that we've run.
So a more finely tuned model this time around.
Yeah.
Give us a few of the details of exactly. Firstly, how much is this worth? How much can you win?
Well, I believe it's probably the fairest bet that any Tote in the world offers, because there's no takeout at all. So every penny that we take in entries gets redistributed in prizes. So nobody gets a special better deal or a rebate or anything like that. Everybody is competing on the level playing field, and every penny goes back to the winners. We guarantee 150 grand in the pool. So if nobody enters, if only us four enter, then we've got that to shoot for between us. But hopefully it will go much bigger than that. We pay £10,000 for each of the monthly winners. So if you have had an absolute shocker at the start, you can think, well, everybody's back on a level playing field on February the 1st for that 4-week period, you know, to pick up 10 grand through February. And that's another one of the kind of tactics you can play, because we'll all be looking for the big kind of go. But it's always worth having one or two shots trying to nail out a month and saying, right, I'm going to put together 10 to really hit a month and try and win the monthly prize. But there are so four 10 grand monthly prizes. And then once they're paid, we share out the rest of the money that gets taken in entries. 70% though goes to the winner, and then we pay down to the 100th place.
And just in terms of the point system, a lot of people would be looking at, say, a horse Iconic throughout the summer, who racked up a sequence in juvenile hurdles. She would have scored 40 points. But there's different point systems for graded tiers, aren't there?
Yeah, so you get every, if you win a race, then you get 10 points, but then you also get the equivalent of the of a pound each way on the tote return. So on all of the runners that you run, so you will pick up points for getting places as well, but just the, just in terms of the place return for a pound. So if you, if you've got, if you're thinking about getting something, say you know, you'll have some of the Bally Adams and things like that that would be running, or you know, that might run in a number of races, but you need them to be into getting up into graded company, because you're not going to be scoring many points when they run around at 1-4 every time in terms of their pricing additional points. But the grade one win carries 25 points, a grade two wins 20 points, grade three wins 15 points, listed's 12. And so, as you say, every other normal race is 10, but then we add an additional 25 points for these 25 big bonus races. So if you win the King George, you win 25 for it being a grade one, another 25 for it being a bonus race, plus your pound each way on the tote. So if you get a 50-1 winner of the King George, you've pretty much got, you know, December wrapped up. That's it. But so it's that playoff. You know that there'll be a number that are very popular, but you will have the odd tartar that pops up. If you get a big price winner of a big bonus race, you can really move up the ranks.
Well, Jamie, you've sold me. I'll definitely be entering off the back of this. How exactly do I go about entering?
So if you go to tote.co.uk/10tofollow, or just put in 10, if you put tote 10 to follow into Google, you'll get there. We've got kind of about 530 odd horses in there. If there are any others that come through, if you sign up now, if you put your stables in now, you can change any up until the closing, kind of the deadline, which the deadline's at kind of 11 a.m. on the Saturday of the November meeting at Cheltenham. We've kept it to the Saturday. I know the November meeting runs on the Friday, and Tiger Roll could be running on the Friday in the cross country chase there that they have. But putting on a Saturday means that those people that do, you know, that are working or something on the Friday, it gives everyone a bit more of a chance on that Saturday morning. But just go to the tote, and you'll see the list there and be able to work your way through the list. Pick it. There's a format on there where you can add things to your short list, so you don't have to commit yourself very early. But you can shortlist as many as you like, and then you can build your kind of stables out of that shortlist. It's probably the easiest way to go.
Well, if you're scurrying around looking for additions into your 10, thankfully, the three experts on hand have all put up a nap, their best horse, they think, in their stable. Harry, we'll start with you. Who have you gone for?
I've gone for Epatante, Anthony. I think that she has the potential to dominate a relatively weak division this season. And she's going to take a similar route to the likes of Bouvardaire, one of her stable mates from seasons gone by. So she'll obviously start in a fighting fifth. Nicky Henderson's being pretty clear about that. So obviously a grade one contest. She won the Christmas hurdle last season, and she'll, you know, be on target for that race, providing things go well in the fighting fifth as well. And obviously back to the Champion Festival next year for another tilt at the Champion Hurdles. So that's three grade one contests, some extra bonus points that she could potentially pick up along the way as well. So I think she's an absolute must for your tote 10 to follow list this season.
From a rising star, who's six, rising seven, Andy, you've changed tack. You haven't gone for a rising star. You've gone for proven form. Who have you gone for?
I've gone for the mighty Altior, especially encouraged by our lovely Racing TV colleague, Will Haler, who I wrote some copy about this on Monday, and he instantly ridiculed me for putting Altior in the 10 to follow list. And so it's really strengthened my resolve to be all guns with him. Now, it's simple, isn't it, with this horse? 20 wins out of 21 races. He's been at the top for so long. I think a lot of people might just overlook him because last year, of course, we only saw him twice. He has some issues, and he's going to be rising 11. But we say rising 11. He's only had the 21 races. Compare that with Deputy Searle, who's going to be up against him in the 2 miles. That horse has had, I think, 19 runs over jump. So he's lightly raced. Most of the races he's had, he's won in an absolute canter. So he's not had a lot of wear and tear on the race course. By all accounts, he's working the house down. Well, not working the house down really well, but he's full of himself and in really rude health. At Seven Barrows, and I love the program that could be there for him. You've got the Tingle Creek, which is a bonus race. That's, so that's for 50 points potentially. Then he'll head, if all's well, for the Desert Orchid Chase Grade 2 at Christmas. That's 20 points. Then we've got the Clarence House Chase. So I'd imagine that'll be on his schedule at the end of January. That's a 25 points. Then we move to the Champion Chase, which is a bonus race, 50 points. He might then run in the Melling Chase, which is another bonus race, 50 points. And then, of course, if all else fails, he can have that lovely lap of honour in the Celebration Chase. And that is another bonus race. That's another 50 points. So by my reckoning, Jamie, that's 245 points before I've even started with the tote dividends. And last year's winner, Richard Hutchinson, I think he got 584 points as his winning tally. So I'm halfway there to winning it, Dunkers, already, just without you.
Just with one horse. And you might be able to hear some banging and crashing in behind Andy there. Such is his confidence. He's already building an extension off the back of it. And hopefully it will be named after the great horse going for his third Champion Chase. Sad we didn't see him this year, but could be redemption in store. Jamie, this was a slightly, that's a bit of a curveball, this one. I wouldn't really have this horse in my 10 list. You've gone for the Nap.
Yeah, well, for Roxana.
Yes.
Yes, I do. Well, I'm just thinking the staying division for me looks fairly thin. It's interesting. Emma Lavelle does puts in a 10th follow. She didn't put Paisley Park in her 10. So I
no.
For me, that means that you should be looking elsewhere. It might be. I'm a Cambridge United fan, and I never back them to win because I want them to win so much. So it could be that she just doesn't want to jinx it. But it tells me she can't be that confident. I thought the step up to 3, but I think keeping it up around distance, it won easily at Wetherby and its reappearance. I think now that if they keep campaigning it over these longer distances, you've got two decent 50 pointers to go for with the staying hurdle and the Liverpool stayers. I just think, you know, there's question marks. It's a fairly thin group. It's question marks over the others that will be stepping into it, and there's other money elsewhere. Whereas I think they might have found that they will keep this over the staying distance. And that's my Nap in there to keep in all my lists, just to farm those two races.
So there we are. There are 3 Naps to sink your teeth into. If you want to put them in your 10 to follow, go to the Tote 10 to follow and get them in immediately. So there are the Naps. And before we delve deeper into the stables of our experts, we can hear from another expert, Jane Mangan, about the 10 that she's picked.
For this year's 10 to follow, I've used very little imagination. I have picked horses that are blatantly obvious, and I hope to just be represented in each division and hope they stay sound. So I began with the bumper division, Sir Gerard. Saw him at Down Royal, who couldn't be but impressed. He looked awesome. He was a point-to-point winner for Elmery Holden. He's by Jeremy, and he's trained by Gordon Elliott for Cheveley Park. He ticks a lot of boxes, and I hope, for their sake, a good, fruitful campaign in the bumper division is imminent. Bally Adam is also for the same connections, and she wears it well. They're my pair of novice hurdlers. I've seen both of them in action in the flesh. They both look the real articles, and hopefully they can be too. In the Champion Hurdle division, I am well represented, and I'm confident that between these 3, I might actually have the Champion Hurdle winner. San Roy began at Tipperary. We saw him at Cheltenham in Handicap Company. He looks grade 1 class. Honeysuckle, awesome last year. May well go down the Mare's Hurdle route, but I hope she might take in the Irish Champion along the way. And Epitant, the mare that looks all speed and could arguably be even better this season, considering her age. I think those 3 are very strong in the 2-mile hurdle division. As for my novice chasers, Shishkin, very good in the Supreme for Nicky Henderson, likely to stay to 2 miles over fences. He's another horse blessed with a lot of speed, and I hope Shishkin can jump fences just as well as he jump hurdles. As we saw Envoi Alain do at Down Royal, that was no surprise. He's a point-to-point winner for Colin Bow. He's arguably the most exciting horse in training, and at 2.5 mile plus, he looks to have the world at his feet. And in the open chase division, Surname, awesome on his seasonal reappearance with Paul Nicholls, put a lot of doubters to silence on that occasion, settled very well, jumped straight, went left-handed. Now the King George is on the agenda. He's a Gold Cup type horse trained by Paul Nicholls. There's an awful lot to like. And my final horse is Manila Indo. Very unlucky, I thought, to be caught by Champ at Cheltenham. awesome at Wexford on his season reappearance. Jumps very well, former point-to-point winner as well, and could be even better this season in open company. So that's my 10 to follow. Hopefully they all stay sound and give us a run for our money, and hopefully get some money for charity along the way.
Many thanks to Jane for her picks, and she mentioned the charity element. All presenters and pundits on Racing TV will be entered into the Friday Club 10 to Follow League, with £500 going to the winner's chosen charity. But if you at home want to enter through racingtv.com and you use the code 00084, that's 4084, you could win a 50-inch TV and a year's subscription to Racing TV. More details on racingtv.com. Go and check that out. It's not to be sniffed at. Right, Harry, your time has come. Let's hear your stable.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. I'll start with them in alphabetical order. So I start with Shaquem Pourceaux. I was actually on him for the Champion Chase last season, but unfortunately he was ruled out of the race due to a setback at the last minute. But he's only an eight-year-old. He's only had the eight starts, and I think he has the potential to dominate the Chase division in England for the season, before he finally gets a chance. My second horse in the list is Surname, who actually silenced plenty of doubters in the Charlie Hall Chase, including myself. But that's proved that he stays 3 miles, proved that he can show his best going left-handed. He's actually favourite for the King George now. I've gone for Defi de Saur. Now, Andy mentioned Altior is potentially a big points earner this season. But I think, you know, he's 11 rising 12 now. I think Defensor is still still potential there with him. He's obviously a multiple Grade One winner. Scored a couple of times at Grade One level last season in Tingle Creek and the Clarence House. I know we have to forgive his run in the Champion Chase, but I just don't think he was right that day. And age is on his side, so I'm happy to forgive that run. And he's potentially going to pick up some bonus points as well along the way this season. So I think he will meet Altior on a couple of occasions, but I'm going to side with him this season as a change of the guard, so to speak. And I think Altior will probably be in his last year as a racehorse. So I'm hoping that Defi de Saur has another successful season this year. And then work in the list as well. The main reason I picked him is because I think he will have an identical campaign to last season. So he's already had a pipe opener at Down Royal. I thought he shaped pretty well at Ladbrokes Champion Chase. And I think he'll go for the Irish Gold Cup again this season, a race he won last season. Pick up some bonus points along the way too. And he hasn't actually got many lengths to fire with Alba and Foto in the Cheltenham Gold Cup last year. I expect that race will be on the radar again this season. So hopefully he gets a little bit closer to him in March. But he's got potential to earn us plenty of points over in Ireland before he goes to the festival this season. I won't mention too much about Enver Allen. I don't think he needs much introduction, this horse. One of the most exciting horses in training. I've already mentioned Epatante's my nap in the Tote 10 to Follow competition this year. Again, I think she's going to dominate a 2 mile hurdle division, and she's going to pick up some bonus races along the way. So I think she's another horse that will potentially earn plenty of points this season, and is a must for your shortlist. Lost in Translation, I've added him because he is my fancy in the Betfair Chase. Things didn't quite go to plan either for him last year. Obviously, he pulled up in the King George, didn't have an ideal prep going into the Gold Cup, but he's got age on his side as well. He's always been held in high regard by the Tizard team, and I think he'll take all the beating in the Betfair Chase this season again. And then potentially a tilt with the King George before another tilt with the Gold Cup, where the result might have been a little bit different last season had he had a better prep. So he's a strong fancy for Jump Racing's Blue Ribbon contest next year. Monkfish, I've added in because I think he has an enormous amount of potential. I remember looking at him in the parade ring before the Cheltenham Festival last season, and he just looked a big raw horse and a typical, you know, whatever he does over hurdles is a bonus type of horse. And I think he'll come into his own over fences this season. Which races he goes for, I'm not too sure yet, but I thought he won a really strong edition of the Albert Barter last year, and I think that, you know, he's going to reach the top over fences. And Patrick Mullins said beforehand, ahead of the festival, that he's not quite the finished article yet, he needs to fill out his frame. So I think he's hugely exciting this season. Shishkin, another horse that doesn't need much introduction. Thought he did really well to win Supreme last season, overcame plenty of trouble in running. Plenty of things went wrong, other things went wrong throughout the race as well. He's going to reach the top over fences. I think it could be the new Altior, this one, Anthony. I really do. I think he's...
Old claim, Harry.
Yeah, I think he's going to reach the sky's limit over fences. And I think he's already reported to have scored well this this year. So really looking forward to seeing him over fences. And the one I'll mention a little bit more, obviously we know a lot about those horses anyway that I've gone over there, but the conditional might raise a few eyebrows, but the reason I've added him in is because he is actually my Ladbrokes Trophy fancy, and that is obviously a bonus race, and he's chalked up a best price 12-1 for that contest. So I'm hoping that he does the business in that race. He finished second in it last year, and then he obviously went on to win the Ultima later that season. I think there's a lot more to come from him this season, because Dave Bridgewater said after the Ultima last season that he is still a bit of a baby. Still got a little bit of ground to do, and I know he didn't stay in a classic chase last season, but Brendan Powell blamed himself for the ride he gave him that day, and I think he could develop into a Grand National horse this year. Not too sure whether he will make it to that race. We'll have to wait and see, and he could be the weak link. You know, he could disappoint the Ladbrokes Trophy, and he'll probably be the one that I change if he obviously does disappoint, but I thought I'll try and get off to a flying start and pin my hopes on him to win the Ladbrokes Trophy and gaining some early bonus points. That's my 10, Anthony.
This is the thing, a very interesting point you raised about the conditional. If he did, for whatever reason, not even take part in the Ladbrokes Trophy, or if he finished unplaced, there's your transfer right there. You swap him out, you find someone new, maybe a January target horse, and you rinse and repeat and keep going through that. Very interesting, Harry. Thank you very much. Andy, there's a little bit of crossover in your list, but there are some intriguing differences as well. Take it away.
Well, that was most comprehensive, wasn't it, by Harry? I will just pull him up on the fact that Altior is only 10 years old and he's going to be 10, rising 11. And it certainly won't be his last season. He's going to be like Fahini. He's going to be going on forever and ever. Anyway, I'll try and keep them short and sweet for you. And what I'll try and do is outline which races I think they're going to run in and why they're going to accumulate all these points. Now, Altior, we're already halfway there, aren't we? So we've mentioned him and all the fancy races he's going to go for. The other side of the channel, you've got Chacan Pourcoir, who I am hoping Willie Mullins will keep him away from Altior and just campaign him in Ireland. And I think he probably will, because this horse only had 5 spins over fences. And Willie's never won that champion chase. So I think he'll work backwards from the champion chase. And the way of working backwards is the hilly way. At Court, December the 6th, Paddy Power Chase, Leopardstown over Christmas, and then you've got the Dublin Chase at in February. Two of those are grade ones, the others are grade two. So I think he'd be a penalty kick in all three of those and then head towards the Champion Chase. So there's plenty of points for him there. And by the way, 7 of my 10 are chasers, because this competition, the Tote 10 to Follow competition, is definitely slanted towards the chasers. I think of the 25 bonus races, 18 are for chasers. So look at your chasers rather than your hurdlers. Surname, absolutely fantastic, wasn't he, on Saturday? You couldn't fail to be impressed with the way he won that. So I think he has to be in there. King George is going to be very hard to beat in that. Not quite sure where he goes after that. Probably the Ascot Chase. Gold Cup, he's got reservations, but hopefully he'll have points in the bags by them. And the Melling Chase, if he goes for that, which again is a bonus race, that looks absolutely tailor-made for him. So I think he's got to be in your 10. Envoy Allan, do we put him in, or do we swim against the tide and leave him out? I flirted with leaving him out and then thought, oh, what a crazy, stupid idea that would be, because if he clocks up 100 points, you'd absolutely kick yourself, wouldn't you? If you lost this competition and you didn't have Envoy Allan in there, you'd think, well, what on earth was I thinking of? So I overcomplicate a lot of things, but I'm not going to overcomplicate this. Envoy Allan has to be in your list. It's almost a Tote 9 to follow, isn't it? Because we're all going to be on Envoy Allan. And if it doesn't do well, everyone else would do badly anyway. So just stick him in there and don't try and overcomplicate it. Don't try and be too clever. Manilo Endo has to go in there as well. I just love this horse. I've loved him from the day one, the Albert Bartlett, where I think I was laying him out of the frame. I mentioned Betfair, so I shouldn't, because it's the Tote. But anyway, he was pulling like mad, wasn't he, in the Albert Bartlett. So I was lay. I couldn't believe he'd keep going. He did keep going. He was brilliant in that. And last year, of course, got mugged by by Champ in the RSA. He's just got that lovely blend of speed and stamina, this horse. jumps absolutely fantastically. I think the Savills Chase and the Irish Gold Cup, absolutely tailor-made for him. And he's got to run well in the Gold Cup as well, hasn't he? So he's proven at Cheltenham. I just love that horse. So he has to be in. Shishkin, yeah, could he be the next Altior? I'd imagine, you know, a novice chase is probably Kempton late November if Nicky Henderson sticks to the screen. You've got the Henry VIII, novices, Wayward Lad, Group 2 over Christmas. Maybe Nicky, if he's absolutely flying in those, will throw him into the game spirit because Altior will have already won the Clarence House for him. And then you've got Arkle, then you've got Aintree. So again, massive potential for point scoring with him. And my other chaser is top of the game now. He's the one horse that I'm not quite sure about because he's been off for 18 months. I listened to Paul Nicholls early in the week and he was saying the horse is difficult to train. But if you've ever seen Top of the Game in the flesh, I think myself and Harry were both lucky to see him at an open day. He's 18 hands. He actually has to bend his head down to get out of his, to look out of his stable door. So I don't think whatever he has to carry in the Ladbrokes Trophy won't be an issue. He's got top weight in that. That's a bonus race. They've been talking about that race for a year plus now for him. I can see him doing a bit of a Denman in that. And then if it doesn't quite work out, perhaps they'll head down the Grand National route with him, which again is a bonus race. So even if he doesn't win the Ladbrokes Trophy, you could maybe go Welsh Grand National, which is a bonus race, and the Grand National, which is a bonus race. So I've got options with Top of the Game. The three hurdlers, I'll keep them brief. Epitante, she has to go in there. I think it's Harry's Nap. Don't blame him because she's going to win the Fighting Fifth. She's going to win the Christmas Hurdle. That's two grade ones. And she's probably going to be hard to beat in the Champion Hurdle the way things are going because it's a very weak division. I think she was much the best in that last year. So she has to go in. And St. Roy in the same ownership, I would imagine they'll just campaign him in our. They'll keep him away from her. And he's been... Or he was awesome in the County Hurdle. Well, everyone in the world seemed to know he was going to win bar me. And it's very, very, very impressive on his comeback. Now, I think the programme for him will be Morgiana Hurdle, Ryanair Hurdle. They're two grade ones. Then Irish Champion Hurdle. That's another grade one. So these are all 25-point races. And then you've got the Champion Hurdle for him as well. So I think they're those two. And last but not least, Paisley Park. Even though Emma hasn't got her in the 10 to follow, I'm praying that's just that Emma being superstitious and saying, well, I'll jinx him if I put him in there. That's what I'm hoping, Jamie. That's the thought there. Hopefully there's 10 there that I've got the potential for lots of points.
So a fascinating list there from Andy. And we come to the final of our stables. Jamie, you've heard a lot of names so far. There's a little bit of crossover in your list, but once again, there's some intriguing names in there. Take it away.
Yeah, so I think I'll cover a couple of things. Manella Indo, fully supportive of that. I think you've got to have something that can be versatile and go the longer distances because we've got every national as a bonus race. So you've got the Welsh, the Scottish, the Irish and the Grand National are in there. So it's anything that could kind of compete in grade ones, but then potentially if it doesn't make it, if it falls just short of some of those grade ones, I'm not saying Manella Indo will, but you can look around for those that kind of Hennessy runners or things that just below top class in the Gold Cup, things will run in those that then get redirected to things like the Grand National. One that nobody talked about really, and it's an Arkle hope, I was really impressed with Unaccepted at Fairy House. It's Willie Mullins thing. Captain Guinness was a hot favourite for the race, pulled up, but I don't think it would have got anywhere close to it anyway. So Unaccepted, you've got to look out for one of these things that's going to be pointed towards the Arkle, because quite often they'll run up a picket fence of wins over in Ireland and pick up something at the Christmas festival as well over there. So I think that's probably the most out of left field one that I've got in, and that was a late entry into the 10 to follow.
You've got the right colours for it going
exactly. So I think that would be the one I'd draw attention to. My other is Shaq and Persuade. We've talked about Champ. I've put in just because he's so versatile, could go anywhere. You've got, you know, if he disappoints over one distance, he could go somewhere else. Not sure his jumping is a question mark, but his engine can't be questioned. Surname looked so good coming coming back the other day at Weatherby, I think, you know, it's a King George for me. Envoy Allen, everybody's got him in. Epitante, Monkfish, I agree with. Roxana, I talked about as my nap for the longer distances. And then Shishkin. But I think if I could go through so far, I've got all the most popular ones of that are in lists already. So I can if I can talk down the top 10 of what's been picked so far in terms of the top 10 out of the 540 odd that are in there.
Yes, definitely.
At number 10, we've got Top of the Game. Number 9 is Santini. Number 8 is Altior. So there's still plenty of people that fly in the flag. You're not on your own.
That's just all my entries, Jamie.
Number 7, Lost in Translation. Number 6, Honeysuckle, which none of us have put in. Number 5, Champ. Number into the top 4 now. Number 4 is Epitante. Number 3, Shishkin. Number 2, Surname. And number 1 is Envoy Allen. And it's like you say, do you leave out the top one in the past? When you look at the past winners, they haven't been lists that you couldn't pick yourself, you know. So if I quickly run down the last year's jumps winners, his list was Classical Dream, Sam Crow, Bouvardaire, Album Photo, Honeysuckle, Fakir Doudary, Defi de Sol, Champ, Envoy Allen, and Paisley Park. Now, none of them were kind of real left fielders. Fakir Doudary, slightly less popular last year than the others. But he still had like Classical Dream, that was kind of number 4 pick last year, that didn't score a point. Bouvardaire obviously had that, you know, we all put him in for the fighting fifth and he got an injury. So and he had both of those in his list and he still won the top prize. So
I'm going to quickly interrupt you though, Jamie, because of course he did transfer.
Yes, he did. I was coming back. I was
going in, didn't he?
I was coming up. I was coming to that. So that's the point. So you're exactly right. He's, you know, you can have two that after the first day, you go, oh Jesus, it's out for the season. But and he came in. His two swaps that we all get just the week before Cheltenham were the ones that really propelled him up there. So he did. He swapped out Bouvardaire for Epitante that scored him well, and then he took out Classical Dream and put in Min. And yeah, then Min was a bit of a, that was the kind of the one that really, you know, did the damn it, or it wasn't the opposite of that. It really propelled him to the top. But what I mean is as long as you're sitting there competing in those grade ones, you should, you know, don't try to be too clever. And then use those subs in the week before Cheltenham wisely.
Yeah, it's very unlikely at this stage that you're going to have 10 horses that will all turn up to Cheltenham, will all turn up to grade ones or the grade 3 handicap chases or graded races throughout the festival and be competitive. You're going to have to be chopping and changing throughout the season. You would imagine. I mean, I'd like to see the odds of someone picking in the second week of November and winning it, but I'd imagine they would be fairly big.
The other thing to mention, just in terms of dead heats, we haven't had a dead heat in the top 10 before, but if there is a dead heat of points, then the dead heat is organised by whoever's entered their stable earliest, got that timestamp of paid for their stable earliest.
Okay, right.
And so while you can enter this week, you can change every one of those entries in your stable up until 11 o'clock on Saturday week. So bear in mind, it's always worth it. I've put a couple of it in early just so that I can fiddle with them. So I've got at least one with a timestamp. And if you are picking a lot of the favourites, you want that to have an earliest a timestamp as possible.
Well, Jamie is looking to keep the prize in-house for the tote.
Yes, I'm not allowed. I've had to sign something. If I did win it, I would have to negate my position in that. I'd only get pride out of it. I'm not allowed to win it, but I'm still entering, obviously.
Amazing. So there's three stables worth of a fair bit of crossover, but you would expect that with some of the biggest names in National Hunt Racing. Just to end this, to just reiterate your naps, Harry, start with you.
Yeah, Epitante, I think she'll take all the beating in plenty of grade one races this season. In a 2 mile hurdle division, should be one of the higher points earners. And as I said before, I think she's an absolute must to add to your 10 to 5 list. And good luck, everybody, with your entries.
Andy?
It's Altior. I've already bored you silly with it. I'm sorry about that.
No, I'll listen for another hour, please.
Shouldn't we, Jamie, that if people, I mean, for £5, you can have a lot of fun with this, but there's actually, you can actually enter for free as well, can't you? Have a go for free.
Everybody gets one free entry as well. There's just like a £5,000 end prize and a £1,000 monthly prize, but the free entry is for those kind of things. If you're doing something at work and some of the guys at work perhaps aren't into the races so much, they're not really punters, you can still get them in to play a free go, so it doesn't cost them anything, and you can do your internal mini leagues, you know, because you can set up your own mini leagues. That's all free for your own competitions. That's certainly something we do at work with groups of us, and you'll have your, you know, it could be dinner out that's the loser pays for or anything like that, but you can have virtual a bit of fun with that as well. Hopefully by April we might be back.
Dunkers, we haven't heard your nap. I mean, you are one of the world's top judges. Come on, give us, what's your nap?
People don't want to hear what I have to say, Andy. Well, I'm just the mere bones that keep this thing going together. I'll go for Shishkin. I think you very much sold me on the fact that he probably will have a lot of racing throughout his campaign, and he's probably going to be gradually built up, you'd imagine, and also stay taking in a grade two in the Wayward Lad on the 27th. And there are grade one targets aplenty for novice chasers on this side of the pond. He can still get the job done. He had a nightmare running the Supreme last year, and he had to show all of his guts when he hadn't really had a proper race up until then. He potted around in a few novice hurdles, but going into Cheltenham, people may have questioned his resolve when the chips were down, and he proved it emphatically. So if I'm forced for a nap, I guess it's going to be Shishkin. But I'll be putting
Jordan. Can't jump fence. He'll win the champion hurdle for you. So that'll be the way to go.
Well, there you go. And there's a tried and tested method there as well. Hoover there could jump a fence, and he still won
the champion hurdle. Yeah.
So there you have it. There are three solid stables for you to pick the bones out of and listen back and try and work out if they're going to make it into your 10 to follow for the National Hunt season. Harry, Andy and Jamie, thank you very much. And remember, if you want to enter through racingtv.com and use the promo code 4084, you can win a 50-inch TV and a year's subscription to Racing TV. Go to the website to check that out. Thank you for listening and best of luck for the 10 to follow.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.